all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You think about his committing himself to man's provisions. Think about Genesis chapter 2. God provided for man, for his emotional need, for his physical needs. I think of the fact that where he placed man, all things were ideal. At that point in time, God provided a place. He provided a plant life that would sustain man according to his created nature, physically. We're a long ways from that today. We have so mutilated and just put in so much in our food line in order to stretch it and make more money from it, make it last longer on the grocery shelf, make it more attractive in appearance. And much of the material that's been added to the food supply is detrimental to our health. If you don't believe it, you do a little investigation into the substances that are in the dyes and that are in the preservatives and that are in the various things that make the food attractive. But you know, God provided in the garden everything that Adam needed. He provided an helpmeet for him. He provided all things necessary. And when he made the promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God's presence, God's provision, God's power has never lessened, never changed, and will not. Not only was he committed there, as we found in Hebrews 13, 15, but he was committed to man at Calvary when he gave his life for us. When the sins of the world was placed upon him, he committed himself to bear them. The agony of a sinful world, he bore in his body and shed his blood to pay for. That's total commitment. I think about the number of our sons of our nation that have gone overseas attempting to deal with situations for the betterment of countries that they've gone to help, gone to fight for. How many of our young men have given total commitment, given their lives, unappreciated in many instances? I think about a situation that occurred a few years ago. World War II, an aged World War II soldier, went over to France to visit the cemeteries where many of his buddies were laying to rest. And they, I don't know who it was, but one of the men that had to do with dealing with national visitors said, "Have you checked into the details of what you are to do when you come into this country?" He said, "No. Last time I was here, nobody asked me to do that." The last time he was there was in Normandy. You know, unappreciated many times, our men have laid down their lives. Never has there been anyone who suffered as our Savior suffered in our behalf. When you consider the fact that all of the sins of the entire world were laid upon him, and as he, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed to his Father, he said, "Father, if it could be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." There was total commitment. And he went to the cross in the most painful manner imaginable to the Roman government. I have a report in my files of a French doctor, very well-known, famous doctor, who analyzed the death of our Lord in the physiological aspects of it. And he said, the amount of pain and agony he suffered was unimaginable. We cannot imagine it. I think of the crown of thorns that was pressed upon his head. I've seen a crown like that, made from the same thorn vine that his was made from. The needles are about that long and sharp as a needle. The vine is small but very tough. And they wound it. We don't know how many turns were in it, but about every 4 inches there are thorns like that. And it was jammed down upon his head. The points of the thorns would have come up against the skull. And when you think about the sensitivity of that area, that region of our head, the agony must have been unendurable to the average person. And that was just one of the things that they did. There was the Roman cat of nine tails that was laid across his back. A seven thronged, or cat of nine tails had nine thongs with knotted pieces of broken pottery, broken glass, stone, pieces of metal, whatever they found to not in there, up and down each lash, so that every time that that was brought across the back of our Lord, not just 9 furrows, but 9 groups of furrows, according to how many pieces that were in that thong, would be plowed across the back. Many people died under that whipping. 39 stripes, 39 lashes. That agony, they laid him on, laid that shredded back on the cross and nailed him there. That was the commitment shown in the death of Christ for your sins and mine. He was committed. There was a commitment on his heart and his soul to yield himself payment for your sins and mine. Payment in full. Not only was he committed in that situation, but he is committed to daily, continually intercede for us who have received him as personal Savior. It's Christ that died. I think of Romans 8:34, where it is written, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that he is risen from the dead, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And then in Hebrews 7:25, he says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." His commitment is constant, daily. His commitment is eternal. And yet, where is our commitment to him? One of the things that drove that World War II soldier back to France was the knowledge that his friends lost their lives because of their commitment to sustain one another. And he was committed to the point he had a commitment to go back. Something drove him there. A sense of commitment to what they had done for him. And folks, I wonder, where is our sense of commitment in response to what God has done for us? How many have you witnessed to this week? How many cards with the gospel on them have you given out this week? Many times as prayer requests are taken, as we're here to go out on visitation, I'll say, pray for God to use the cards we left indoors. How many of you left indoors this week? How many souls have you witnessed of God's commitment to you and His blessings on you this week? I'm afraid too often we allow a far lesser commitment in our life to the Lord Jesus Christ than we have to the devil's funnel in our living room. We place our family and communion with them above communion with God. Now, I'm not saying we should let our families go. I'm saying God needs to be there too. And yet so many times when the family comes to visit, that's more important than paying a visit to the Lord in His house. That's not commitment to Him. Family ought to come first after Him, but not before Him. I fail Him so much in so many areas. But there's one thing about our kids that come to visit us, and they do from time to time. And many of you have met them. Why? Because they were here. They were in church. If they come and there's a church service going on, they're going to be here because we're here. Where is our commitment to Christ? Where is our commitment to the one that went to the cross in our place, where we should have hung? God, help us to search our hearts and realize that we're guilty of being lukewarm toward God, uncommitted to Him. We should be committed to Him in our prayer life. We ought to be committed to Him for praying for our nation, our state, our community. We ought to be committed to, above all, to pray for Him, to Him for this church, for our fellowship. I have a number of prayer lists in my computer on, what is it they call it? The little list. Yeah. I bring them up. One of the first things I do, usually in the morning, is bring up the list. My daily list. And every one of you are on it. Every member of this church is on that list. And I have a number of other lists. I've got a list of people that I pray for who were here and are not here anymore. Some have dropped out, gone their way, not committed enough to the Lord to be here. And I pray for their spiritual needs. And if you absent yourself very often, do you the church services, you'll go on those lists. And I have a list of those that I have attempted to draw closer to the Lord and discipled over the years. I think about a young man who was in a college near where I was pastoring. He came to our church. He got involved, surrendered to the Lord, and I licensed him to preach. He was called into service. I lost track of him for about 30 years or so. Never saw him. That church was in North Central Florida. Some 30 years later, I was pastoring on an island in the edge of the Gulf of Mexico, and I was asked to speak at a prayer breakfast on another island for another church. I saw that young man, or he saw me, and he was working back in the kitchen. I didn't see him until after he saw me. And he came out after I spoke, and we had a time of fellowship. And I found out that his commitment made before he went into the service, he was still keeping. Every year he would go into the mission field. He was an officer, a law officer in the area there. But every year he would take his vacation and he would go either to Jamaica or sometimes he would go down to Costa Rica, different places, mission fields, and visit and preach wherever he was. He hadn't given up. He was still going. Folks, we need to recognize our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't cease when we just go to church ourselves. Many of you may have met the black couple that came recently. Patsy and I were in the usual 30-minute wait at Cracker Barrel. I don't know why they call it that, but I didn't see the barrel, but I saw a lot of folks waiting to eat. And while I was in there, you know, they've got all that store up there at the front, and you spend enough time in there to waste some money in there. And I witnessed in there and started talking to this man. And, well, there were two of them, really, and pretty well preached the message in there. They had a good congregation. And he said, "My wife and I will be there tomorrow." This was on Saturday. And, you know, I've had folks tell me they'll come, they'll be here. But praise the Lord, Sunday morning they were here. Y'all met them and welcomed them. Now, hey, God's able to use commitment followed up on. It wasn't because it was me. It was because of him. The Lord used it. He blessed it. And we would have a lot more. Even when the preacher's out of town, there wouldn't be any vacant spots in here if we were all committed to doing what God told us to do. God didn't say, come ye and sit and soak and sour. He said, go ye. Come and get charged up and go out and do something about it. We need a commitment to Him, for our witness to Him. Through tracts, talk, thanks. You know, my wife and I have a set of tracts that we carry that says, thank you for your service. We don't say it enough. We always put a tip in it and give them the tract and the tip. And that same Saturday, our waitress was a lady that has recently moved into the area. And of course, she's working the weekends. But I'm praying that the Lord will touch her heart and bring her. We invited her. She was open. She received the card and kept it. And I trust the Lord to use it. But if we don't take action, if we don't do something for the Lord when we have an opportunity, how can He use us? There must be a commitment on our part. Not only our tracts and talk and thanks, but our time. Our time. We have time to chat with our neighbor. We have time to watch the boob tube. We have time for all of our personal interests, but we don't have time for God. God help us. We're Laodicean Christians. You know, we need to witness. We need to walk for God, talk for God, worship Him. And let folks know what He's done for us. A lot of times, just telling somebody what God's done for you when they're in a position that's not too comfortable, they realize they need the Lord to do something for them along that line. But I'll tell you something. One day soon, every one of us is going to stand before Him. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I going to be embarrassed when I stand before the Lord because there's been too little commitment in my Christian life to Him? Think it over. And don't just think it over and forget it. Remember it tomorrow when visitation time comes. Remember it tomorrow when you stop at the gas station and gas up the car. I'd like to see the card racks empty when I leave tonight. That you're taking cards that you'll place where you purchase food, where you purchase gas, where you do anything. Get them out. Have a commitment. God help us not to be Laodicean Christians, but to be witnesses for him. Father, speak to hearts, challenge us. So many think that we are not trained, but Lord, it doesn't take training. It just takes relying on you and going on and witnessing for you. Help us to lift you up before a lost and dying world, we pray. Guide us and direct us. Use our pastor and the team as they witness. Give them a safe journey home. By the grace of God, may our commitment to you be more real, more effectual for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.